ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Adi Lila, chapter 17, text 22. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Abhata. Nama Haite Hoi Sharva Jagate Nishta. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. This is one verse in a series of verses. I'll read the other verses and the relevant purports also. I chose to chant this verse among the several verses that I'll read because it's a well-known verse, an important verse for our preaching purposes. So those of you who don't know it could learn it by chanting now in the morning. There's also another verse which in this series, which is so important for our preaching purposes, that if you don't know it, then you should all learn it. So, this is a series of verses of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining the Hare Nama verse, which goes as follows. That's the verse I'm saying which you should all definitely learn, even if you don't consider yourself a preacher. Everyone should know this verse. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalao Nascheva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Yeah, presumably you all knew that one. In this age of Kali, there is no other means, no other means, no other means for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Abhata Nam Haite Hoi Sarva Jagat Nishta. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. Dharda lagi Hare Nama Ukti Tinba Jara Loka Bhujaite Puna Evakar. This verse repeats the word eva, certainly. Eva, which means certainly, three times for emphasis. And it also three times repeats Hare Nama, which means the holy name of the Lord, just to make common people understand. Purport. To emphasize something to an ordinary person, you may repeat it three times, just as one might say, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this. Thus, the Brihannaradiya Purana repeatedly emphasizes the chanting of the holy name so that people may take it seriously and thus free themselves from the clutches of Maya. It is our practical experience in the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world that simply by chanting that many millions of people are factually coming to the spiritual stage of life simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly according to the prescribed principles. Therefore, our request to all our students is that they daily chant at least 16 rounds of this Hare Nama Maha Mantra offenselessly, following the regulated principles. Thus, their success will be assured without a doubt. Kebal Shabde Punarapi, Kebal Shabde Punarapi Nishchai Karan, Jnana Yoga Tapa Karma Adi Nibaran. The use of the word kevala, only, which means only, prohibits all other processes such as the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or performance of austerities and fruitive activities. Our Krishna conscious movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only, whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali are necessarily indulged in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga, or the performance of fruitive activities, or useless austerities. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of opposing groups become angry at us, but according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called Gyanis, Yogis, Karmis, and Tapasvis. When we say that they are as good as we are, we must say that only we are good and that they are not good. This is not our obstinacy, it is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Onnata jemane tar nahik nishta nahi 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 eti nevakar. This verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. Yeah, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes on to explain further, but I particularly took up this, wanted to speak on these verses. After being informed of an exchange between two leaders of our movement in South India, different places in South India, in which one of them accused the other of committing nama aparada by inducing people to come to the temple of Krishna, the ISKCON temple, ISKCON center, by inducements such as you come to this yajna and you will get all your astrological bad influences removed, you will get long life, good health, wealth, and everything else that any fool might desire. Whoops, they don't say that, any fool might desire, but that's an interpolation from the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita philosophy. So he was accused of committing nama aparada by introducing such methods to bring people to the temple. And the temple president, as it happened to be in this place, responded by saying that you are making nama parada because you don't have faith that we bring people by any means whatsoever, and then we teach them to chant Hare, we gradually teach them to chant Hare Krishna, and that purifies them. So they're both dedicated to preaching Krishna consciousness. They both want that people will take up the chanting of Hare Krishna. And one says, well, we should just stick to the traditional methods of doing Harinam and distributing books, and people will come. And the other says, well, if we distribute books and chant Harinam, then hardly anyone will come. But if we do like this, then many people will come. So how to resolve this? As I often say, this is in response to the Ritvikvad, which says that, well, you just read Prabhupada's books and take initiation, this akashic diksha, through the akash, through the ether, or kalpanik diksha, imaginary initiation, directly from Srila Prabhupada. And then, because Srila Prabhupada said that everything you need to know is in my books, Everything you need to know to become fully Krishna conscious is in my books. So that's all you need, some people say. But we see that devotees who are dedicated and who hopefully read Prabhupada's books, they come up with different interpretations on the same issue. So that's one reason why you need living devotees. Not that Srila Prabhupada isn't living, but he's the technical term is aprakat. This is a standard term, used Vaishnava terminology, means not manifest. So we need prakat, someone to decide the, or give the proper understanding. So then again, we may say, well, different gurus have different, even different gurus within our movement have different opinions. And that's why you go to Prabhupada's books, and then by Shastra Vichara. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we have to see. And then the individual devotee who's in the middle of all of this, he has to decide which is right and which is wrong. Of course, one way of approaching the problem is to say that, well, why have all this disturbance? There are different approaches, and let everyone just preach Krishna consciousness in their own way, and let's all be friends, and let's not get too upset about all of this, and live peacefully and happily. Which sounds like a nice idea, but there's serious accusations being made from both sides, that one is making an offense. Each is accusing the other of being an offender. So, this requires further investigation. What constitutes offense? Is it possible to preach Krishna consciousness in a way that is offensive? Preaching is desired, is it not? So if we just say, well, just let anyone do whatever they like and say what they like and don't make any offense, that sounds very much like a Vaishnav, doesn't it? Might do, if you haven't heard the teachings of our acharyas. That was exactly what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was accused of when preaching in Bengal, in which the chanting of Hare Krishna was going on widely. But he protested that what's going on is not Shuddhanam, it's Nama Parada. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had come to this world for two main purposes, to propagate the preaching of Shuddhanam. There's already plenty of Nama, but and to establish Daivi Varnashrama. Daivi Varnashrama. Actually, I had this experience many years ago in Bangladesh when we met a bogus guru who we regularly preached against, and by the arrangement of Daivi Maya, who's also a servant of Krishna, we ran into him, and we met him. So he accosted us. He said, why are you preaching Harinam here? There's already plenty of Harinam in Bengal. You go and preach in your own country. In other words, leave all these people to be cheated by me. And we responded that Harinam is being chanted, but not Shuddhanam. They have no concept of Shuddhanam. So, this is more broadly speaking a question of quality and quantity. Should we preach with quality and get people who are following nicely, or should we just try and bring in as many people as possible and then gradually bring them up to the standard? Srila Prabhupada was asked about this after he had visited before Srila Prabhupada had his own center established in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada went with some of his disciples. They visited two of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers' ashrams in Navadvip. One was that of Srila Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, in which there were few devotees, but they seemed to be learned and seriously practicing. Whereas at the... Anyway, this is the impression that is conveyed. And at the ashram of Keshav Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Pragam Keshav Maharaj, there seemed to be many more devotees present, but they seemed less serious. And some examples given, some of the brahmacharis, they had, along with their shikas, they had styled hair, which was quite unusual in India those days. And other examples were given. So, which is better, Achyutananda? Very perceptively, he asked, and Srila Prabhupada, which is better, quality or quantity? And Srila Prabhupada answered, both. We want both. We want many people, but at a good standard. So what do we start with, quality or quantity? What does Shastra say? Well, it's difficult to find a Shastric injunction that will directly address this point. But then we have Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. What did Srila Prabhupada do? What did he say? And Sadhu, what have the previous Acharyas done? Srila Prabhupada himself, while in his preaching, he very rarely, in fact, I can't think of any instance offhand, when he met people and spoke with them, he didn't, as is quite common in ISKCON today, he didn't just ask people to chant Hare Krishna with the idea that let them chant and then later we'll see about other things. But he spoke to them about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And previous acharyas also. They were learned in Shastra. Not only learned in Shastra, but in Siddhanta. We find that Rasikananda, he was trained in all the different philosophies, and then he went to preach. And he would regularly argue with pundits and bring them to Krishna consciousness on that basis. And he would organize festivals, which many people would come. There'd be festivals, prasad and distribution, like this. So you may say there were different platforms for different people. It could be said like that. And Srila Prabhupada also noted that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Puri, he chanted Hare Krishna every night and distributed prasadam, and he only spoke philosophically among very learned people. However, we do also find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even when going among common people, he would preach basic points, just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Transcendental Vision has seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rising early, Udilo Arana Purabha Bhage Dvijamani Gaura Amani Jage Bhakata Shamuha Loya Shate Gela Nagara Braj. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would rise early and with his associates go into the nearby, around the town and villages. Tatoi, tatoi, bajalo khol, ghana ghana, tahi janjararo, preme dhala dhala, shonara anga, charane nupura baje. Yes, the mridanga would make a sound, tatoi, tutung, and the janja, this janja, this, like, what we call wampas in English. But that actually doesn't have to be played very loud. There's another way of playing it also, which makes a light sound, which you'll see traditional Bengali kirtan groups do. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body was shimmering in prema. His golden form was shimmering in prema as he danced, and his ankle bells chimed. But That wasn't all. He preached also. Mukunda Madhava Jadava Hari Bolena Bolare Bodhana Bhari. So he would preach to chant the holy names, and then why to chant the holy names? Miche Neda Boshe Gelore Rati Di Boshe Shari Rashaji. You spend your nights uselessly sleeping, and your daytime simply decorating your body or making arrangements for your body. Imana durlabha manava deha paya kikaro bhavana kaya ebena bhajale jasho dushuta charame paribilaj. And like this, he went on preaching that you have achieved this rare human form of birth. Having achieved this such a rare human birth, you simply don't care for it. If you don't now worship the son of Yashoda, then you'll fall into a shameful position. Most shameful position. So like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would preach, and he also, when he sent his first preachers, Nityananda and Haridas, he told them, Shuno Shuno Nityananda Shuno Haridas Shabhatra Amaragga Karaha Prakash Prati Ghare Ghare Giya Kara Ebika Bhaja Krishna Bolo Krishna Karo Krishna Shikha. He sent Nityananda and Haridas door to door and told them to make people aware of his order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order, which was to tell people to chant Hare Krishna, to worship Krishna, and to study Krishna's teachings, Bhagavad Gita as it is, which hadn't been published at that time, but it's always there. Before it was published formally, it's always existent. So a teaching would be there and encouraging people to chant. Both things are there. What we don't see in our sampradaya, there may be roundabout ways of preaching in some ways, but there may be roundabout, just like we have this story of Lord Shiva sending the gross materialist who wanted the most valuable thing in the world to Sanatana Goswami. And Sanatana Goswami gave him a touchstone, which the gross materialist, who was intelligent to realize that he might be cheated, could realize that the touchstone couldn't be the most valuable thing, because otherwise wise Sanatana wasn't interested in it. So then he eventually came to get the Bhakti Sanatana and got the most valuable thing, which he, first of all, he had to throw away the touchstone to get it, and then he got the most valuable thing, the holy name of the Lord. This might seem like some kind of light story, like fairy tales kind of story that you tell to children, but actually it has a very deep import. That we can't get Krishna prema, which is the most valuable thing, as long as we are attached to anything material, or even the hope of material enjoyment. This we get from the touchstone, Sanatana Goswami, and the touchstone. So you can't have both. And all acharyas, if we see in history, is that they've preached this. And at least in India, many people up to the present day can relate to this, because it's become very deeply ingrained in Hindu culture, you could say, thanks to Shankaracharya and his followers, most likely, who Krishna himself says that dukhalayam ashashvatam, this material world is miserable and temporary, but Shankara and his followers very much emphasize this. They don't have anything to say on the positive side, so they can only emphasize the negative side. And of course, the Vaishnava acharyas, they also emphasize this. This material world is miserable, therefore take to Krishna consciousness. So the acharya, they preach like this, which is absolutely according to Shastra. We find throughout the Bhagavatam, along with the stories of different devotees and the Supreme Lord, there is repeatedly a very, we could say, piercing instruction about the nature of this material world. Nayam deho deha bhajam riloke kashtan karman arhate virbhujamya. Don't live like a pig, Rishabdev. Rishabdev told his sons, who were raised by him, raised no doubt in the highest culture, but he told them, don't live like a pig, which gives the idea that even if raised in the highest culture, you can revert to pig consciousness. So there are many, many examples throughout the Bhagavatam, and our acharyas, they preach like this. Now we may say that, well, why don't we just, we don't get many people like that, so why don't we just preach some other thing? You know, hospitals, schools, and all this kind of thing, and get material benefits. And it might seem to work, that many people come, more people come. But then again, we have to see that Srila Prabhupada, he didn't do this in the previous acharya. Why didn't they do that? About Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it was commented that if he had just adjusted his message slightly, then all the people who are now against him, because he was criticizing them, they would all submit to be his followers. If you just cool down a bit, people would advise. They wouldn't tell it to him directly, they wouldn't dare, but they would say to some of his followers, because his followers would go preaching door to door. And people would say that, yes, we appreciate, he's a great. And actually, the many people they would, even the people he was criticizing, many of them praised him, that he's a great stalwart devotee, he's doing so much for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. But do you think you could just suggest to him that he just isn't so critical, and you know, he's so learned, so austere, so dedicated, so devoted, that all the Vaishnavas in Bengal would become his followers if he just stopped saying that all these people are bogus, and you know, we'd all agree to follow, but you just have to adjust, just be a little mature and adjust things a little bit. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wouldn't have anything of it. Even when someone, there was one editor of a magazine, the magazine was run by the magazine of the Gauranagaris, whose philosophy, if you want to call it that, is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in this pastime, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's in the same mood as Krishna, and he enjoys with the young girls of Nadia. So this Haridas Goswami, I believe his name was, came, and he came to Siddhanta Saraswati, and he praised him that you're doing so much work, and we appreciate what you're doing, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati just blasted him and said, you're cheating people. And then he made a whole series in the Gauriya. In their magazine, they wrote that the Haridas Goswami wrote that, I was very fortunate to have the darshan, even though there are some differences between us. Still, we appreciate that Siddhanta Saraswati is doing great work. And in response, Siddhanta Saraswati had in the Gauriya, his magazine, printed a 6-part serial in great depth, showing how the Gauranagaris are offenders, they're Nirvisheshvadis. And you say, how Nirvisheshvadis? They're worshipping Gaur Vishnu Priya. That's not Nir. But he said, Nirvishesh, because you don't want... They want to make that there's no distinction between Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. It's the same mood. So you don't make the distinction. So, like this. In so many ways, he it was very, very heavy article. But he was right. And if you'd said that, okay, let's all be friends, and then quietly we'll preach these things and gradually bring them around, but it doesn't work. That's why Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama. Three times it said, Darda Lagi Harer Nama Ukti Timba, Joro Log Bhujaite Puna Evaka. Three times it said Harer Nama, and then again afterwards it said Eva, certainly. Why? Joro Log Bhujaite. Dull. Jara means material, Jara means dull. To make these dull-headed people understand. And why did Srila Prabhupada, he would repeat the same things over and over and over and over again, just to make us understand. Just to make us understand. So this is required. If we don't say it strongly and loudly and clearly, people are not going to hear it. It's going to be shrinva napi na shrinvati. They hear, but they don't hear. So, there are problems. There are problems with the idea of you bring people in somehow or other and then you later introduce them to the right thing. As I was saying the day before yesterday, like in Bosnia, they had this program, gradual preaching, where in the beginning they pretend they're teaching yoga and New Age mysticism and this and that. But then after 1 year, when they started talking about Krishna, then the people were angry at them and said, you cheated us, you're Hare Krishna. If you know, why you wasted 1 year of our time? We're not interested in Hare Krishna. So that's the problem, that you bring people in. There's mysticism, of course, in the West they have their own version of. Generally, all over the movement, there's this idea that, well, don't preach directly, do it indirectly, then we'll bring people in, and then gradually we'll bring them to the right thing. But there are problems with that, because we go on saying the wrong thing, gradually try to introduce the right thing, but we have a whole bunch of people who are interested in the wrong thing. And as a, they haven't come for, well, no one comes for pure devotional service. It's very rare that people come for pure devotional service, but they haven't heard that from us. So when we start to change our message, will they change? And another point is that we can't also wholesale change our message. Because if we're preaching, there are more people coming, and we have to keep on saying the wrong thing, that come to temple and you'll get all your problems solved. Of course, it doesn't always happen. That we can't order Krishna, look, we're preaching and you better cooperate with us. So you better cure this person's backache, because we told him that he'd get all his problems solved. But of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself doesn't say that. He doesn't say to Arjuna, okay, Arjuna, I can understand. I'm an empathic listener. I'm listening to you very nicely. And I think what you need is a course of psychoanalysis. And I'll take a new avatar, because there's no psychoanalyst avatar. Good idea, Arjuna. Let's have I'll make a new avatar, the psychoanalysis avatar. You see. But Krishna didn't listen empathetically to Arjuna. He said, Kutas twa kashmalamedam vishame samupastitam anarya jirshtam asmargam akirti karmaj klaibyam asmagam aparta naita twayupapadyate kshudram hridya dorbalyam chaktvo tishta parantapa. He said, you nonsense fool rascal, what a nonsense are you talking? You're not supposed to talk like, you're supposed to be an Arya. Come on, get up and fight, you nonsense. Then again, then Arjuna says, okay, you think you're a guru. Okay, I'm your disciple, but I tell you, I'm not going to fight. You want to be my guru and tell me what? Okay, I surrender to you, but I have a condition. You're going to be my guru, but I'm not going to fight. And then again, Krishna, Ashocha Ananda Shocha Strong Pragyavadang Shabasas Pragyavadang Shabas Gatasuna Agatasunsva Nanu Shochanti Pandita. You think, and then Krishna comes back, you think you're big and learned, you're just a damn fool. No learned person speaks like this. It's pretty heavy. Of course you could say they were friends. First you have to make friends with people, then you can preach to them. That's also a consideration in preaching. I discussed all these things in the book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. So that is a consideration. Of course, we see with our acharyas, they didn't always make friends with people, and they often made enemies. And we may say that if we bring many people in, it's good, but there is one purpose in which Srila Prabhupada says that if the demons are not against us, or he says if the demons are against us, that's a sign that we're preaching properly. Because if we do preach properly, then demons aren't going to like it, because we have to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is and tell them that they're demons, directly or indirectly. Not very indirectly, you tell them that they're demons, or that this is wrong, there is right and there is wrong, there's a difference. So there are problems with the indirect method. One thing is that our acharya said, oh, there's another point which goes with the indirect method that is often quoted. This akama sarva kama va moksha kama udhara dhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is full of desires, without desires, or desires liberation, one should intensely worship the Supreme Lord. The only problem with quoting that is that the word intensely is left out when devotees quote this with the idea that you bring people in. Rather, they give the idea, well, you don't have to really surrender. You just chant, that's all. You do whatever you like and just chant. So the intensity is not there. We see the example of Dhruva Maharaj. He was full of material desire. The most materialistically desirous person ever, maybe, more desirous than Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu just wanted to take over the universe as it was known below Brahma's level, but Dhruva wanted to take above Brahma's level, and the only level higher is Vishnu, so he got it. He got Vishnu Loka. He's the most materially desirous person possible. But he worshipped Vishnu with great intensity. Not that you just bring people somehow or other and you don't, or just like we heard this, this common thing that one devotee has staked a claim to a certain area of Sri Lanka, that's my area, he's not there yet. And someone else is going there to preach, and he's warned by the person who staked the claim, don't speak philosophy. Do Harinam and Prasadam distribution. Don't speak philosophy. Grave, the only preaching instructions. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jare dekho tare koha Krishna upadesh. Whoever you meet, speak to them the instructions of Krishna. And now we have, whoever you meet, don't speak the instructions of Krishna. Whatever you do, don't preach. Don't speak philosophy. Of course, he's brought this person who's given a slight twist on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, has brought his friend there who speaks philosophy. But actually, this person has nothing wrong with, he has nothing against speaking philosophy. He just doesn't like the right philosophy, because he brings his friend who tells people in public, worship the demigods. You should worship the demigods. And also, you can chant Hare Krishna. So he's speaking the wrong philosophy is okay, but the right philosophy is not okay. This is the philosophy. This is what it comes down to. So that is the problem. If we don't speak the philosophy as it is, well, we're going to have to speak something. If someone asks you a question, oh, well, you're worshipping Krishna, why are you not worshipping all different demigods? You say, Just take some prasadam. are not allowed to speak philosophy. Or they may say, I know what they say, or they may bring demigods in the temple. That's another solution. You want to bring more people? Bring all the gods. And then all the people will come. Maybe. So, you may say, well, we'll speak it gradually, eventually. But again, unless we speak it strongly and clearly, then people will think it's optional. If we say to some people, bring them behind the doors and don't say this to anyone outside, but now that you've been with us for 6 months and we've been telling you it's okay to worship demigods and eat kami food and watch TV and all, it's okay, whatever you do, it's okay. Now we just want to tell you that actually these things are not very good. And you go outside and tell all the people, actually it's all very good. You do what you like and just chant Hare Krishna. I wonder how effective this is going to be in convincing people, because you have to speak, unless we speak very strongly and clearly, even then it's difficult for people to get the message as it is. Even the devotees who are initiated, they're supposed to know, and even they go away and think that, well, and they get mixed up. So if we don't speak it strongly and clearly, then how are people going to get the message? What is the message, by the way? It's interesting that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here describes that he's not just saying Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, but he's explaining what it means. He doesn't just say just chant Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. That doesn't mean just chant Hare Krishna. Doesn't mean that. Well, in one sense it means that, but what are the implications of just chant Hare Krishna? It means don't do other things. It also means don't do other things. Otherwise, you're not just chanting Hare Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains this. Keval shabde punarapi nishchay karan gyana yoga tapa karmi adi nibaran. That what it means when you say just chant Hare Krishna means don't do jnana, yoga, tapa, karma, etc. Means only do devotional service to Krishna. Don't do these things. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching. So the idea that we just tell people to chant Hare Krishna is not exactly what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Or it's not a full understanding of what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. He said, yes, just chant Hare Krishna means don't do other things. It doesn't mean just chant Hare Krishna and do whatever else you like. Doesn't mean that. Elsewhere we find, in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaching people, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhu kahe kahilam e maha mantra eha japa giya shabe kareye nibhanda eha hoite sharva shiddhi hoibe shabar sharva kan kaha nam bidhi nahiya. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the people, chant the Hare Krishna maha mantra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now I spoke the maha mantra. Everyone should chant this nirbanda. We'll come back to the word nirbanda later in a minute. By this process, everyone can achieve all perfection. So always chant the holy name. There is no other rule. So people like to quote this, saying that, oh, no other rule. So you just chant Hare Krishna, that's all. No other rule. Bidhi nahiya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to always chant the Maha Mantra. There's no other rule. So if you're always chanting the Maha Mantra, you're not going to movies, you're not eating. Well, I guess you could say, while I was in the line to go to the movie, I was chanting Hare Krishna. And in the movie, I was chanting Hare Krishna. But devotees don't do that. You don't do jnana, yoga, tapa, karma, adi. You don't do all those things. If you're saravakan, means all the time. And this word nirbandha, which is not a standard word in Bengali, if you say it to an average Bengali, they won't know what it means. It's not a common word, even in Sanskrit. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains it to mean that following the rules and regulations of devotional service. So there are, we find also, we'll hear also that Namna Makari Bahudha Nijasarava Shaktista Drarpita Niyamata Smaradenaka. There are no particular rules for chanting the holy names, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains that further. That Kayate Shuite Jota Tota Nam Aloy Desha Kala Niyam Nahi Sharva Shiddihoi. He explains that you can chant the holy names lying down, while eating, in any situation, without consideration of the place or the time. There's no rule concerning place or time, and one can achieve all perfection. But then again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this instruction has to be seen in the context of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's other instructions and those of his followers, just like Namacharya Haridas Thakur, who was chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy once in a public place, and people were honoring him for doing so. And then one Brahmin who was there thought, who's this guy? I'm a Brahmin and they're honoring him. So he also started to chant Hare Krishna and dance in ecstasy, and all the people started beating him. They'd honored Haridas, but they beat the Brahmana, so-called Brahmana, because they understood that he's just imitating Haridas so that he'll get honored. He's not actually exhibiting ecstasy. So there is a difference between Shuddhanam, pure chanting in pure consciousness, and Nama Parada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Niraparadhi nama loile pai prema dham. One will get love of Krishna if one chants without offenses. So there is a consideration of offenses. Therefore, bahujanma kore jadi shravan kirtan tabuta na pai Krishna pade prema dham. We are warned that we can chant the holy names and hear for millions of lifetimes but not get the result of love of Krishna if we chant with offenses. So there is a consideration of offenses. Both parties, at the beginning of this class, both parties accusing each other of being offensive. So how can we understand what is offensive? And then we have to go to Shastra. The boys are chanting this Nama Parada in Sanskrit. So one of the aparadas is to equate the holy name with the chanting of the holy name with chanting, or to consider demigods to be equal to or independent of Lord Vishnu. Another is to think that jnana, yoga, tapa, karma, adi, these other processes are equal to the chanting of the holy name. This karma kandya shubha kriya. So if we bring people in and ask them to chant, but at the beginning say, and you can, you do all these other things, you worship demigods, and you have different yajnas for removing the bad influences in your chant, and it's all the same. Then from the beginning, we're teaching them nama aparada. And you may say that the name will purify, but according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nama Parada doesn't purify. And in fact, we have elsewhere in Shastra that by chanting Nama Parada, you actually go to hell. By offending Krishna, you go to hell, actually. And Srila Prabhupada explained that you may get the good effect of chanting, some good effect, but first you have to suffer the effects of offenses. So, there is a difference between just bringing people, and somehow or other, if we bring many people, we think that if we bring many people, that is our success. Yes, that's true, but it should be many people who are inspired by pure devotional service. And actually, Srila Prabhupada was able to bring many people. We say that you don't get many people, but Srila Prabhupada was able to bring many people by speaking Krishna consciousness as it is. He was also advised when he went to America, just, you know, don't dress in this Indian clothes and don't speak all this Sanskrit and don't follow this diet. You see, the American people never relate to it. But Srila Prabhupada was able to bring people to Krishna consciousness because he saw the cultural differences, but he saw that people are spirit soul and they can take to Krishna consciousness. And he also told us to preach like that. I mean, I've spoken about these things so many times. Even in Srila Prabhupada's presence, there was the Back to Godhead magazine was made popularistic with so-and-so, ordinary American. I'm chanting Hare Krishna and it relieves me from stress and things like that. Prabhupada rejected it. He changed the whole editorial board of the Back to Godhead because he wasn't satisfied. He didn't like this approach that you tell people just to chant Hare Krishna for material benefit. Srila Prabhupada instructed that you teach that you chant Hare Krishna to get love of God, not any material benefit. So we have precedent there that Srila Prabhupada, he didn't like this approach. We may say, we might even think that we are more successful than Prabhupada in preaching. You see, now we have so many. Prabhupada didn't bring so many people. We're bringing so many people. There's actually a comment by Giriraj Maharaj which comes in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, which I also quoted in the book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service, that in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada was preaching and all these pious people were coming to listen to Prabhupada. And Giriraj Maharaj said that, well, if he'd just made his message pleasing, then so many people would have followed him. But actually in India, more than other places it seems, Prabhupada was generally very strong in his lectures, and he was very, as always, very philosophical. He rarely told jokes. He didn't. Most gurus you find in all the Swami Bogasananda and his brother, they're enemies. anyway, that's a joke. Forget it. Didn't hit that one. So Swami Bogasananda, they make this kind of good feeling. Everyone feels nice. Oh, you're very nice. Oh, Guruji, you're so nice. And you're very nice. And everyone feels very nice. Prabhupada, he didn't go along with that. He would speak straightforward philosophy. You're not the body. Especially he would speak strongly against Mayavad. These Mayavadis are cheating people. And people appreciated, but not so many people came forward to be devotees because heavy message. It requires surrender. It's challenging. Challenging people to surrender. Give up sense gratification. And not just in theory, but you have to take only Krishna Prasad. You can't eat anything else. And you can't just go into a shop and buy a loaf of bread and mutter some blah, 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 some so-called mantras and say now it's prasad. That's not Krishna. There are so many do's and do nots if we are actually to be pure devotees. It's demanding anyabhilashita shunyam, to give up even to cultivate the consciousness of not wanting anything than to please Krishna. It's challenging. Srila Prabhupada's manner of preaching was generally challenging. Of course, individually, he would encourage devotees who are not able to immediately come up to the proper standing. Sometimes he would be strong on them also. But generally, in his lectures and public preaching and lectures among the devotees, and in his books, it's very challenging in the sense that all these philosophies are wrong and this is right, just like Srila Prabhupada says here. Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only. So we may all agree on that. Yeah, we do that. Whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga or the performances of fruitive activities or useless austerities. So all followers of Srila Prabhupada will agree that all these things are useless, but there's some idea that we don't tell them in the beginning. You don't tell them that this is all useless. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. Now, well, that's something to think about, because if you bring people in and you don't tell them the right thing and you say, well, actually, it's okay to do all these things, it's misleading. Yeah, but afterwards we tell them. But Srila Prabhupada says, when we point this out very plainly, Prabhupada doesn't say that, well, did not say it because they might be upset. But Prabhupada says, we point this out very plainly to an audience, member of opposing groups become angry at us. But if they're angry, they won't become devotees. They'll go away immediately. Well, I discussed this many times before. We have the gradual process in which we bring people in. Everything's all wonderful, everything's all one. One thing is that it's not maybe not be that everyone comes to us anyway, because everyone says that. Why should they come to us if we say that? But anyway, you get some people, you get a group of people, then you gradually start tightening the screws and telling people, actually, you have to follow some principles also. So some people go away, and then you say that all these other things are bogus. Actually, that's the thing, they won't say it. But if you do say, then maybe at the end of a long process of speaking indirectly, you start off with 100 people, it goes down to 99, 98, and maybe you get one or two at the end. Whereas if you speak straightforwardly at the beginning, all the 98 will go away in the beginning, and you got the real people right at the beginning, and you can train them right from the beginning, because they're sincere. Whereas the two people you got by the other process, they're still not quite sure, because you're still going out and speaking to people, actually, just chant Hare Krishna, and everything's okay. Whereas from the beginning you say, no, all these things are bogus, and it's clear, it's bogus. And everyone can understand. And people who are convinced of this, they can convince others. Whereas if people are not convinced, they can't convince others. They might be able to convince others to come to something which is more like a pious social gathering, which you also get at different groups. That's generally what Hindu organizations, they're like pious people, and they come together, and they have a social gathering. And mostly they all do bhajans, all these people, Asharam, Shri Shri, all these rascals, they all have some bhajans, and people feel nice and good, but they don't tell them, you have to surrender to Krishna, you have to give up sense gratification. So then we may end up that if we think that we're in competition with these people, we're not, we're actually not in competition. We're just against them. It's not like we're running in the same race. We're against them. They're rascals, they're cheaters, they're misleading people. We have to tell them that. So, then we may think, well, if we tell them, you can't go to movies, you can't eat kami food, you have to rise early in the morning, maybe they'll go away. Oh, it's okay, you can eat kami food. And that becomes the standard, so-called standard, which is not Prabhupada's standard. And it becomes not only okay, but actually you should do it. You should go out to kami restaurants because you shouldn't be too fanatical. What Srila Prabhupada made the ordinary standard is nowadays called fanatical. You should have contraceptive sex because if you... I don't know what the reason is they give for it, but if you don't, you might get love of God and become one of those fanatics. You don't want that to happen, do you? Because if you become too strict, then no one will join. But we don't see it. It's not a fact that people do join. People who are sincere will join. So, is it a fact that we're doing better preaching if we're bringing many people? Questionable. Do they understand? Do they read Prabhupada's books? Do they follow what's in the books? Does anyone tell them to read Prabhupada's books? Maybe you're afraid they'll read Prabhupada's books, because then you'll see that it's not the message that we're speaking, as is sometimes said. That should we follow what you say, or should we follow what's in your books? People ask. There shouldn't be any difference. So these are some considerations. What's the conclusion? Popularity or purity? Well, Srila Prabhupada said both. But if you have to choose between the two, actually we don't have to choose between the two, because if we preach intelligently and maintain the standards of rules and the standards of Siddhanta, then many people will come by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. Nam hoite hoi sarva jagat nishtha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the whole world can be delivered by this. He didn't say that, well, you water it all down, but yes, giving this stand. Nishtha means they'll be delivered from all these wrong ideas, and they'll be delivered from all these wrong practices. So we see that all over the world, it's not just between two people, but it's the populism is run amok, and that becomes the standard. Just like you told me, you saw on Dandavat some headline, preaching in Italy. I thought, great. And you looked at it, and it was a Sufi convention in an ISKCON center. Why is there a Sufi convention in an ISKCON? Maybe they hired the hall. Okay, maybe. But then why is it called preaching? What preaching means to tell people to chant Hare Krishna and surrender to Krishna. Maybe you go to a Sufi convention and distribute books to them, but if that's like the crux of your preaching, then we lost something. If that's the some things like that might be done on the side, but that's not our main preaching. We find that everywhere, that so-called preaching means to mix with all kinds of actually demoniac people. I'm not saying Sufis in particular are demoniac. That's not just them. Anyone who's not surrendered to Krishna, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So this idea that we just make friends with people and then they like us. But preaching means to give people Srila Prabhupada's books and to live according to that and to preach according to that. And yes, there's consideration of time and place and circumstance, but the idea that somehow or other we have to bring many people and we have to adjust to the modern age. And there are so many issues, just like now this whole female Diksha Guru issue is going on, even though no Acharya previously made it a normal standard that divorced women can be Diksha Gurus or anywhere. I mean, in exceptional cases, it is there. But people think we have to adjust to the modern age. Although my understanding, when I joined this movement, is that this movement is meant for giving the proper alternative to the modern age, not becoming part of it. The reason we joined this movement is because the modern age, is everything about it is wrong. So this movement is meant to be an alternative, not that we just go along with it, but rather we give the real understanding, and so many things. I mean, kirtan is now something for the more we enjoy it, the better the kirtan is. And there must be all kinds of different instruments, otherwise it's not really a good kirtan. So then this becomes nama parad, and many people come. That's the whole thing. In Bengal, there are so many, still there are so many people who are chanting Nama Parada. But Bhaktisthan Sahasrar Thakur stood against that. He said, no, this is not the way to chant. He said, well, why are you so much against these people? They're chanting. But no, their chanting is not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. This is not going to deliver this. This will not deliver the whole universe. This kind, when we have, as soon as we have the consciousness of sense gratification, and that becomes mainstream, then our society lost the whole point. That Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. Krishnarthe kila cheshta. So when kirtan becomes I spoke about this a little bit the other day. There's some devotees were telling me also they don't want to go to Mayapur because they see that kirtan means all the pretty young girls are dancing with obvious sexual overtones, not undertones, overtones. So, and that becomes the standard. Then you don't want to go. Then, if this is at the heart of the movement, then there's something seriously wrong. And if we can't say this is wrong, because we don't want to commit Vaishnava aparadha, then we've got serious misunderstanding in so many ways. This idea, you have to make it so that people like it. No, we have to revive people to the to their original consciousness, in which they learn to appreciate what is pleasing to Krishna's senses. So, many things could be said about this. About this interfaith, and did I say about interfaith? Yeah, interfaith is another thing I'm supposed to be preaching. But you go, and but the underlying assumption is that, well, it's all the same, and all different paths, and we're all on the same path. And there are differences between us, but no one can say that one is better than the other. But then why are you in Krishna consciousness if it's not better? Why did you come to this? You weren't born into this, those who are in the West. You weren't born into this, then why did you take it up? What's the reason if it's all just the same? And actually no, what's the word? Sucked Orthodox Muslim or Christian goes to that. It's only the washed out members of their faith that go to that. Those who are really into it, they won't go because they think ours is the best. Why should we pretend that we're... So there may be some scope for that, but it's like, you know, the greatest thing we did is interfaith. Or what do you believe? Well, we believe this and you believe. But what is the absolute truth? Krishna consciousness begins with Atato Brahma Jignasa. We should inquire into the ultimate truth. So, I mean, you can sit with Muslims and discuss with them, but actually their understanding is that cows should be killed, deity should be smashed, music of any kind is wrong. That's Orthodox Islam. So where's the meeting point on these basic principles? There is no meeting point. Christians also. Jesus is the way, the life, and the truth, and no one comes to God but through me, they quote. So that means everyone's going to hell, so why do you waste your time with us if we're all going to hell? So, it's something like that. Srila Prabhupada told this story. You lose your caste and you're still hungry. A Brahmin is hungry, so he goes to eat, and a Muslim invites him, or a Chandal invites him to eat. Then he's eating, and then they stop bringing food and said, "Could you bring me some more? I don't have any more." And he said, "Oh, I lost my caste by eating with a low caste person, but I'm still hungry." So it's like we lose our own message because we're afraid of speaking it. But then we lose our whole identity. It's like if we preach vegetarianism, where we believe in vegetarianism. There are already a million organizations promoting vegetarianism. We believe love, peace, and everyone should be nice. Everyone says that. So what have we got to offer? What special thing have we got to offer? Why should anyone join this movement? Why should anyone stay in this movement if it's all just the same as everything else? So, by not speaking our message, we lose it. And we actually subordinate ourselves to people who are more practiced in speaking that message. They've got years of experience of cheating people, and we're just new at it. So then we have to play the second act. we go to their concert or something like that as a supportive act, instead of coming out that no, this is different to anything that anyone says anywhere, because it is the absolute truth, and everything in this world is what is that? Ritayana. What is that verse? Ritayatam napratiyeta. Napratiyeta chatmani. Yatha bhasho yathayam. Tadvidyad atmanomayam yatha bhasho yatha tamaha. Krishna says that whatever in this world appears to be true that is not in relationship to me is not. It may seem to be real, but it's simply a reflection of that which is real. Reflection in the darkness. So, I've spoken many of these points before, but many times, but you have to say it many times, otherwise people don't get it. And specifically in relation to that question. So, who's the Namaparadhi? Neither? Both? One of them? Definitely neither have the intention to be Namaparadhi, but there is the danger. If you bring people in and you tell them, well, if you tell them to chant Hare Krishna and offer them material rewards, then you're considering the Namaparads that are listed, then you're certainly in danger of teaching them Namaparada. They might not come out of it. Not all who come, not everyone who comes being lured by that bait, they come to pure devotional service and they go away thinking that Hare Krishna believes that you can worship demigods and it's okay. Most of those who come hearing that message, they don't come to the standard of getting the real message. And as I stated in the lecture, it may be doubtful if anyone gets the real message, because we do see that where there's an emphasis on quantity, then offer the compromise on the principles also. Contraceptive sex is okay, eating kami food is okay, watching TV is okay, and then it goes to you should do it, and then it just becomes like the Sahajiyas of Bengal, where they offer fish with tulsi. Well, to tell you the truth, not all sampradayas in Bengal do that, and those who do are not much appreciated. There is a sampradaya that does that, and others don't appreciate it. They cook their fish separately. They don't eat it with the prasada. So they know that it's wrong. You shouldn't offer fish with tulsi. So they just keep it, they cook it separately and take it separately. So they're not all as bad as each other. There are gradations also. In a rich man's house, there'll be two kitchens. Of course, they're losing their culture now, becoming modernized and westernized, so they probably don't do this anymore. But there used to be two kitchens, one for Thakurji and one for us. Rascals. Pious rascals. But they don't know better. Their gurus teach them this. As I said to, it was the 1970s, Bengali brahmachari at that time, when I was saying that these so-called gurus are all rascals. And he protested. He said, our guru, meaning his family guru, the fact that he was initiated by Jai Bhagavan Maharaj didn't seem to have registered with him. Our guru, he also eats fish. And all the Vaishnavas that I've ever seen, they all have fish. What do you know? You're just from the West. You don't know. I've been a Vaishnava all my life. What do you know? All the Vaishnavas eat fish. Nothing wrong with it. That's what comes. So, Mayavadis, they're all okay. Nothing wrong. Eating kami food, it's all okay. Nothing wrong. And no doubt, many, many people will come like this and they'll all go to hell in the name of Prabhupada. So better we read Prabhupada's books and try to understand them without this cheating propensity, kaitava dharma, that we like to cheat, change things, because we have better ideas. I'm not saying that those who do this in the beginning, they may have a very sincere desire. Why are so few people coming? Let many people come. So that's a good desire, but we have to follow the path given by the great acharyas. Otherwise, the good desire may turn into something less desirable. And we see that the Prabhupada, he didn't cater to the... He didn't lower the standard or preach in such a way that was calculated to bring many people at a lower level. But he spoke the message of the absolute truth, that one person even might understand it. So, Hare Krishna, as I said, I've spoken on these things many times before. You want to add something? When the Mayavadis chant the holy name, it's not the holy name. They're also chanting. Well, that we find, I quoted that just a couple of days ago, Prema Vibharta. From Prema Vibharta by Jagadananda Pandit, that Ashadu Shange Bhai Krishna Nam Nahi Hoy Nama Kor Bahire Bhate Tabu Nam Kabu Noi. That if one doesn't associate, if one chants the holy name but not in the association of devotees, then that's not the holy name. The sound is there, but it's not the holy name. Now you may say, well, we're devotees. Just like I said to someone who said that, I said to him, you're writing, but it's all this mundane academic stuff. He said, but I'm a practicing devotee. But the stuff that comes out, you may be a practicing devotee, you're following the principles and chanting around, but the stuff that comes out is in the same mode as the mundane academics. And if it wasn't, they wouldn't accept you in their university. That's the trick. You say you have to go to the university to change these people, but actually you have to change. Otherwise they won't accept you in their group. And you may say that gradually we'll change them back, but immediately we see that you have changed. Even though you might be chanting Hare Krishna at home, but you have to write and speak in a manner that is not approved by our acharyas. So the idea may be that we mix with Mayavadis. If you mix with them, you're not going to say that you have to surrender to Krishna. So you mix with them. If you say, then they'll kick you out of their group. They won't let you in. Just like I heard at this Bhakti Fest in America, that the devotees were told, we like your kirtan, we like your prasad, but we don't like your philosophy. They said openly, so don't speak your philosophy. So, there is a difference, and that becomes evident, that if a bird looks like a duck, walks like a duck, and quacks like a duck, what do you call it? A duck. So if someone talks like a Mayavadi, mixes with Mayavadis, what do you call them? Well, maybe in other times he acts like a devotee, but for the neophyte devotees, how can they differentiate? They think, oh, it's okay to mix with Mayavadis, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected his intimate friend, Mukunda, from mixing with Mayavadis. When Mukunda was with the devotees, he talked like devotees, but when he went with the Mayavadis, who knows what he was doing? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. I only accepted him back when he said not to mix with them. So I may talk about that on another day in more detail. I mean, mixing with Mayavadis. There may be some scope. How far, that we have to consider. But we have to be very, very careful to keep Mayavad out of our movement, which is always trying to enter. sense gratification, mayavad. And then everything's spoiled. Krishna Das, his bhajans, so-called bhajans, are played in all ISKCON temples. There's also a book sold in ISKCON temples called The Yoga of Kirtan, in which there's an interview with this so-called Krishna Das, in which he says that when I chant the holy name, I just think about the reality that, I'm paraphrasing here, but listen, the reality that is within all of us, and I don't believe of any, there's any little blue boy or any such thing. He's a great offender. Dravida Prabhu told me, he's also in that book. So he told me that he didn't know, he would have never agreed to have been interviewed for that book if he knew what kind of thing was being put in it. That's the first entry in that book, I believe. So it's very, very offensive. We do not want hearing from such people. Vaishnava mokhodgiranam putam harikatamritam shravana naiva kartavya sarpochishtam yathapaya. Sanatana Goswami warns us, do not hear from the nectar of Krishna Katha from non-devotees. It's like milk touched by the lips of the serpent. It will poison you, it will kill you. And that's going on in our movement at the present time. This should never, it's not imaginable that Srila Prabhupada would agree that such persons singing should be broadcast. The person who says such offensive things should be, his song should be allowed in our movement. It's not imaginable. Which suggests that it's not Prabhupada's movement anymore, because Prabhupada, what he wanted is, what Srila Prabhupada would be clearly against, is now being encouraged. So, well, it's Prabhupada's movement as much as Prabhupada is being followed, but if this so-called Krishna Das, his so-called bhajans are being played in our temples, I heard that's being played when the so-called devotees are cooking offerings. I don't know. Will Krishna accept the offering that's cooked while they're listening to this offensive stuff? And why do they listen? I've never heard his bhajans, but I can presume that it's musically pleasing. And then, just like I said the other day about the Nam, what's it called? The Nam Aparad Mela, the Kirtan Mela. It'll all descend into Nam Aparad, because people like whatever's pleasing. They don't see, does the singer rise for Mangalati? Does he follow the four regulative principles? What is his philosophical understanding? This thing is not considered important. It's just if they are musically pleasing. And then you get all the girls dancing in a sexy way, and it just, the actual purpose of kirtan is lost. And then, as I said, then you have to fly them into different parts of the world. And they'll also need something to maintain their families. So they become professional kirtaniers. And then they have to outperform each other for the name and fame and for the money. And then it's competition, different groups. It just becomes totally mundane. When there was a kirtan competition organized in Mayapur, Srila Prabhupada said, when he heard about it, he said, stop it immediately. Kirtan is not a subject of competition. Now we have every Bhagavad Gita competitions. Wrong approach. You can't understand Gita through. If you immediately, you have the idea, Gita is a subject that I will amass it and I will be better than others. Then you get the wrong attitude immediately. No acharya ever did this, had Gita competitions. Acharyas, they preach widely, but they never made Bhagavad Gita competition. Why all of a sudden we've discovered this? Just missing the point. That's why traditionally, even the in the school, Gurukul, they don't give certificates, who's the highest marks and all that. Just, it's, that's not what is actually to be achieved in the school, you can't measure it by marks. Same thing with Bhakti Shastri. The real thing you have to get from Bhakti Shastri is humility, surrender, conviction, determination. You can't measure it. You can mark. Someone might get 99% and they have no dedication whatsoever. So, of course, Bhakti Shastri, that should be studied. But you can't get, in fact, I'm at a list here. I was going to give that another. It doesn't necessarily give realization. If you're in it to think, I'm going to get high marks, then you're not going to get Guru Nishtha. You don't get sincerity, taste for the holy names. Whoever's teaching it, they affect the presentation. So if the teacher comes up and tells you, well, I don't believe everything in Prabhupada's books, then what are you going to get when they're teaching you? As the person who made the Bhakti Shastri courses in the beginning announces, I don't believe everything. What are you going to get? You'll get nothing. You'll get abhakti. You'll be studying and you'll get non-bhakti. So that's why when people come and join the temple, first thing, clean the pots, clean the toilet. We should have refresher courses every few years or every day. Clean the pots, clean the toilet. But I'm a PhD. Yes, that's why you need to clean the toilet. More. For you, longer period cleaning the toilet. Well, I'm a great preacher. What we actually have to get is not measurable in terms of marks. So you find that they previously they didn't give marks. An appreciation, a learned person might be given some title like Sarvabhauma or something like Sarasvati, some Shastra Visharad. Is it Visharad? Visharad, yeah. So out of appreciation, that may be there. We see generally the pundits, and they're all trying to outdo each other and show they're better than each other. That's not in bhakti. There is siddhanta. This is right, this is wrong. But the attitude that I'm better than you, that's not there. So Hare Krishna. Oh, so many questions. All right, send the boys for prasadam. At least they should take prasad. Anyone else can go for prasad. So I don't want to starve you. Well, it is a Ekadashi, but little boys can take prasad. Yeah. Mahatma Devi Dasi, who I believe is my god sister from Alachua, well, I'm not allowed to speak in the temple due to my offensiveness to Srila Prabhupada, ISKCON, and the GBC, according to the local GBC member there. So she's thanking me for speaking the truth. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Forgive all my offenses. If in speaking the truth anyone becomes offended, I should speak the truth. Shouldn't speak anything else. Yeah, and then?
So is there any hope? Will the temples be filled with newcomers again?
Will the temples be filled with newcomers again? Maybe, but if they don't get the right message, then what's the point of filling it? Factually, we see that when we make the preaching all watered down, that you can only get people to join the temple by paying them. And even if they're discouraged, don't join the temple. Be realistic. My understanding of realistic is that this material world, everything here is temporary and reality is Krishna. So, realistic? Yeah, most people get married. All right. So then what? In Varnashram, farm communities? Temples filled with devotees. Well, this temple's filled with devotees. Not for long. You all have to go out of book distribution again. That's not a punishment. That's the great reward. Maybe you're going to have Bhakti Shastri course now, is it? Now you're going to do it? Yeah. Yeah.
Will the temple be filled with newcomers again that are really interested in serving? Or is this era old?
Is the era of surrendered devotees wanting to serve, is it over?
Only
grihasthas and congregational members from now on. Yeah. In America last year, there was a new one devotee was telling me they got a church they'd bought, they're going to make a temple. And I asked about the brahmacharis. He said, we're not going to have brahmacharis. Too much trouble. With grihasthas, it's easy. You know, they give some money, they come around and that's all. Brahmacharis mean you have to train them, you have to look after them, you have to convince them. In America, it's not so easy at all. Ask Mahatma, who's here. These boys he's brought, they didn't come just by telling people, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So, interestingly, he has a program in which he does, in the beginning, he has kirtan, prasadam and a talk. But in his talk he's careful what to say. He doesn't mention the word God. Can you believe it? Because in Southern California, as in most of America, the word God, people connect it with Christianity. And the kind of people that come to, they're really fed up of Christianity, and for good reason. So, if they come for three sessions, which is quite an achievement for someone to come back. Because, you know, in America there are millions of things to do, and on Pacific Beach, where they are, have you been there? Surfing, lots of beautiful young girls and healthy young men. And what do you want to come back for? What do you go there in the first place for? Because you're frustrated with all that. So if they come three times, then he brings them to the temple. And then when they're in the temple, it's full on. So there is scope for some leeway. Preaching means that you bring people who are not interested and make them interested. But it's just how far you go in being willing to accommodate them. And also you have to quickly, unless you quickly bring them to the right point, or within a certain amount of time, unless you have a plan to do that, then they just take you to be the persona, that means the mask, that you're pretending to be. One good example of this indirect preaching was Tamal Krishna Maharaj in Hong Kong, where they had made very few devotees in very few years, in several years. So he introduced yoga practice and gradually exposed people to devotee association, made devotees. But he was there, he was overseeing it, and he's very fixed. I mean, some people don't like Tamal Krishna Maharaj because he was very fixed and very heavy. But he was very fixed in, and he made people devotees by doing. But if people who are less clear on what they're doing take this up, then we often find that they themselves just become yoga teachers. That happened to one of our preachers recently in New York. He was doing this yoga program and he ended up marrying a yoga teacher. He was supposed to be on the sannyas list. But he ended up marrying a yoga teacher. He became more interested in that because Maya is very strong. So there is scope. Definitely there is scope for what we may call bridge preaching or whatever, but it has to be done very, very carefully. And not that the whole movement just moves onto a bridge. We're just like homeless people. They sleep under bridges in England. In London, it's allowed. They're allowed to sleep under bridges. Otherwise, what do you do with them all? So we're just all not even on the bridge, we're just under the bridge. We're homeless, we lost ourselves. We don't have any place to go. We're not going back home, back to Godhead. We lost the home. So we have to be careful. It's very, very important that devotees read Srila Prabhupada's books and understand try to understand what Srila Prabhupada is saying. The books themselves are very clear. But, you know, it's like with that, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and preached. He never preached, you eat fish and chant Hare Krishna. But other people, they came later and said, eat fish and chant Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say that. There are so many books written by his followers to say what is the right line. But it got lost. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. In a great period of time, things tend to get lost. In Kali Yuga, the process of decline acts much more quickly. It goes slower in other yugas. In this yuga, tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam socham shamadaya kalena balena rajam nangsham tyaya balang sviti. In Kali Yuga, all good things, beginning with dharma, they decline day by day. Of course, that's there in every other yoga also, but it's practically visible in Kali Yuga. So, anything else? Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, what does he say?
In the days of compromising politics, Mayavadi and Swarajya propaganda, what mind attitude should have neophyte devotee who is willing to spare time for the Prabhupada movement?
What should you do if you want to serve in Srila Prabhupada's movement when you see all these things? Neophyte devotee. Well, I am called offensive for saying this. And I'm just warning all of you, because if I'm offensive and you believe me, then you're also offensive. So, don't just take what I say at face value. Try and understand it with your intelligence. What I am saying basically is that, to a large extent, our movement has gone off the proper track. So, what should you do? Find association of those who are on the proper track. The basic activities are there. You can chant Hare Krishna, distribute Srila Prabhupada's books, read, or even if for some reason you feel you can't distribute them, at least you can read them. How can you understand what's right and what isn't? Well, definition of bhakti is given. Bhakti paresh anubhavo, anubhavo, viraktir anyatra. Bhakti is defined as direct experience of the personality of Godhead. Again, how should we understand the answer to this question? According to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. And that is manifested as detachment from everything else. And the example is given, prapadyamanasya yathashnata syus tushti pushti kshuddapayo nughasam. Just like eating a hungry person, they feel satisfaction, nourishment, and diminution of hunger with every bite. So it should be seen that persons who are in Krishna consciousness, they should not be attached to anything else, anything materialistic. Either, what does that mean? Jnana, yoga, tapa, karma, adi. Jnana means more or less Mayavad. Yoga means, yeah? You all know what yoga is. Yoga is used in different places in Shastra, in different ways. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's used mostly to mean this, what people generally understand yoga to mean. In Bhagavad Gita, it's generally used to mean the linking process with the Supreme. Tapa, karma, materialism. Karma we may broadly translate as materialism. So if people are materialistic, if they have aspirations to be wealthy, famous, even comfortable in this material world, then they haven't really got the point of Krishna consciousness. So you can judge and see. You have to. I am saying, I'm not the only one. You have to consider. I may be wrong. I don't think I'm wrong. If I thought I was wrong, I wouldn't be saying this. I think I'm right. But you have to understand. You read Prabhupada's books and understand what is the right thing to do. It makes it very difficult for newcomers. If from the beginning they're taught, have contraceptive sex. It's all right. Whereas Prabhupada says it's demoniac and sinful, and those who do so, they go to hell. So it should be the same message, just like there's Prabhupada in one lecture, he said, what Krishna spoke, and he spoke to Brahma, then Madhvacharya spoke, same message. And then what the later Acharya spoke, same message. Madhavendra Puri, same message. Chaitanya, down to the present, same message. And we see that. You can read the teachings of the previous Acharyas, and there are some differences in perspective, but basically it's the same message. Madhvacharya, we can, different culture, hundreds of years ago, same message. Krishna is supreme. We have to surrender to him. Same message. Vishwanath Chakravarti, completely different culture to what we're living in now. Same message. That's called parampara. And then when the message is changed, then it's not. Something's being passed down. Just like the Mayavadis, they also have their parampara. Even in communism, there may be parampara. People identify them as Marxist-Leninists. In West Bengal, you can see CPI parenthesis M, which means Communist Party of India Marxist. Then you have CPI parenthesis M hyphen L, which means Marxist-Leninist. So they have different paramparas. Chinese communism, Russian communism, North Korean communism. And so on. So everyone has their parampara. The parampara from Hiranyakashipu is still going on. There are still plenty of people interested in money and enjoyment on soft beds. Still going on. But we should stick to the Vaishnava parampara. Not the upper sampradaya. Yeah, more questions. Okay. Good thing it's Ekadashi. So, there's an excuse for missing breakfast.
This is from Rohit from Kolkata. He's asking that how one can absorb in Katha and lecture in the same spirit as one gets absorbed in people and congregation chanting, because he thinks that he feels more of a bliss
I feel more bliss in the Kirtan Mela than I feel in the Katha. How can I get absorbed in the Katha? Well, just for your information, Kirtan is not meant for our bliss. It may be blissful, but the bliss comes from chanting in the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inculcates in Shikshashtakam. So if we think this is a good kirtan because I feel it to be blissful, then we're not in kirtan. It's not actual kirtan at all. Because I like it. Or if we think this is a good katha because it's very, everyone's listening and everyone's absorbed, we miss the point. We are qualified to hear katha if we are understanding that I am in a very delicate and dangerous position in this material world. I've got this human life. Now I have to do whatever is required to surrender to Krishna and go back home, back to Godhead. Then we should hear katha. But if we think, well, it's not so ended. I don't really like this. If we judge it according to what we like, we're already on the wrong platform. That's why Srila Prabhupada first of all taught, we're not the body. We cannot enjoy this material world. Our real self-interest lies in surrender to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada taught these things again and again. When we've heard this many, many times, and we're at least theoretically convinced of it, then we should go on to other topics. But in the meantime, if we hear all other, if we hear, but we're in the attitude that, well, I really can't get into this talk. I don't know, it doesn't appeal to me. If that's how we go to hear, then we cannot hear. You're just wasting your time going to any katha. First hear this. First hear how we should hear. Hear like Parikshit heard, not like all the other great saintly persons who are present. They couldn't hear Shukadev. Shukadev spoke to Parikshit. So if you don't like what I said today, it's not meant for you anyway. I'm not Shukadev, but I am the servant of Srila Prabhupada, who spoke the message of Shukadev and told us to do so also. Yeah. Okay, Gaur Bhagavan's been raising his hand. Gaur Bhagavan Das. There's a mic here, you can speak in the mic. There is an idea, which is no doubt wrong, whatever it is.
This idea that devotees who are actually preaching can sometimes watch the latest movies to understand.
There is an idea that devotees who are actively preaching can watch the latest movies to try to understand where people are at so they can preach to them. Maybe. I gave a couple of lectures and a press conference on the film Oh My God without watching it. And then later one of my godbrothers, who's really into this idea, you have to watch all the latest movies, and he himself makes movies, he said you should have watched it. So he gave me the CD and I did watch it. And I realized that actually my presentation would have been, it actually makes sense. I spoke on the basis of what Radhesh, who was one of my disciples, said. But if I'd have watched it, I could have given a better response, that's true. So that's a fact. If you're going to speak on something, then, or take up some issue, then it's better to study it first. But what does that mean? We have to study everything in the material world? And I must admit, that's the first time I watched a Bollywood movie. I've seen bits and pieces going on the film, going on the flights between Dubai and India. They have the big screen. or they have the little mini screen in front of everyone has. So without the sound, I see, and it's the same thing. Pretty girls and handsome men, some fights. It's the same thing. So there is some, I mean, you have to some extent, you have to know what's going on and to be somewhat tuned into the world so that you can interrelate with the people that you're preaching to. But you have to be careful, because watching movies, and then how many movies come out every day? Bollywood movies? There must be a few every week at least, huh? I don't know. Don't pretend you don't know. There was a time when you were watching them. Of course, that was a long time ago. Things might have changed. So yeah, there is truth to that, and I read more things from different people. I read The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins. Unimpressive. But I don't recommend everyone reads it, because it was a big thing. Still is. It's the main manifesto of Hiranyakashipu in the modern age, in the present time, in the English-speaking world. In India, no one heard of it. He's going all over the world. He never came to India. Don't invite him. So there is something to that. But the problem is that when I have to watch the latest movie, and you say, oh, maybe this is a good... And Bollywood movie, one thing about that, oh my God, it wasn't sexy. I watched the whole thing. There was no sexy scenes in it. Whereas Bollywood movies in general, it's required, practically. So that's not good for devotees to watch such things. But even Oh My God, which wasn't a sexy movie, but the underlying theme is that, well, we're in this material world to be happy. And they're all convinced. So it is dangerous to get into all that. And I see some of our devotees, they definitely read the newspaper far too much. And then they start believing what the newspaper says. So it's very dangerous. Be careful. We all need thorough re-indoctrination by Srila Prabhupada and his teachings. Like I told you, I've said several times, we're in Bangalore, there's a devotee who's so-called sheltered, supposed to be initiated soon, who told me that he's running a school to teach teachers so that we can make a contribution to the nation. He thinks that by teaching teachers how to teach all the nonsense they teach in schools, he's making a contribution. What does that mean, contribution to them? Training people so they can work for Narayan Murthy and Premji Azad, they're the two big software people in Bangalore. How did I know that? I read the newspaper. So the idea that we're making a contribution to the nation. Now our girls, they're not like they used to be. They work in call centers and go home at night at midnight and get raped because they're liberated women. I just saw in the newspaper this morning, someone gets raped every 2 hours in Delhi. That's what they say. Or sexually molested. Well, it's every 2 minutes in America. Take the whole of America. That's just rapes, what to speak of molestation. They don't report that because America is the great place, right, that we all have to follow. Very bad idea. Very bad idea that we should follow this Western culture. Nasty culture. Prabhupada called it nasty culture. So, more questions?
Typically Indian bodied people.
Indian what people? Indian bodied people. That's an American term. American devotee term. Yeah, American devotee term. Indian bodied people. It's all right, makes the point. Yeah. Procrastinate in reading books and they're more interested in listening. Americans and Europeans are more ready for reading books. They do a statistical study, you're sure of that? And can be ready.
That could be considered as a cultural angle.
That's a cultural angle.
It took me a long time to start reading books myself.
It took me a long time to start reading books. This is from an Indian bodied devotee in America.
The book distribution in the United States and India has increased.
The book distribution in America and United States has increased. What can we do to increase the reading? Go out and speak the message in the books. We want people to read the books, speak the message. That's one way, isn't it? Otherwise, why should people be enlivened to read the book? If they're not enlivened to read the books, then we can speak the same message as in the books and tell people, for more elucidation, read the books. That I also mentioned in the Strongly Speaking book, that one reason we need to speak what's in the books is to encourage people to read them. Of course, when we speak, we should speak what's in the books. And it's good. It's great. Great stuff. Srila Prabhupada, we see again and again and again, he'd speak very similar things. I always do too. I mean, you've seen me in these public programs we do here in Salem, Namakkal, Karur. Basically, I just give the same lecture every time. We're not the body. The body is going the soul is going from body to body. We have to surrender to Krishna. It's basically the same lecture. It's great. People buy books. They want to learn more. It's the truth. People need to hear it. We could go in and say, be good. Smile at people. Laugh and be happy. We could do that. There are plenty of bogus people who do that. We have a whole Jaggi Vasudev. Nityananda, the so-called Nityananda. We have our local. They all say the same thing. Why should we say that? I tell them. You have to. This material world is full of misery. Tell people. If they're at all sincere, they'll appreciate. If they're not sincere, what can we do? But they are appreciated. It's not true that people aren't coming by speaking the message just straightforwardly. Rather, people are coming, and from the beginning, they're ready to take the process. We don't have to go round and round and round in circles with them. Just take it straight immediately. These are the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. You implement it in your life. You will be benefited. Immediately tell them. More questions? Yeah? Have a question? No, you don't. All right. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.